The Guardian.
And now. Tomorrow Radio. Who knows its nature?
You know that I am your friend. You don't have to do anything.
Stand by.
And curiosity often leads to trouble.
Make yourself free and comfortable. Loosen your clothes, move around, stretch. Stretch like a cat.
The Guardian Radio Hour on MTS.
What a peculiar place to have a party.
Listening to the Guardian Radio Hour, and we are back on NTS for the next hour, digging deep into the lesser known corners of music and seeing what we get. We've had Nena Cherry exploring the idea of jazz as rebellion, The Guardian's Alexis Petridis trying to convince me that glam rock deserves some more props. But today, it's the turn of a very suave gent, even, to play us some tunes. Hello, Bobby Gillespie.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, you all right, love?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
Thanks for coming down to the NTS studio and joining us.
It's a really cool place.
It's pretty neat, isn't it? There's posters if you want to go out later.
It's really cool, street-level radio, you know?
Absolutely. So what's today's theme?
Oh, today's theme is cheating songs.
All right.
Infidelity.
All right. Sounds good. Well, looking forward to hearing more about that. Let's play the first track, shall we? It's James Carr, Dark End of the Street.
At the dark end of the street, that's where we always meet. Hiding in shadows.
That was James Carr, Dark End of the Street. What a track.
Really beautiful, no?
Yeah, my spine is actively tingling, I think. Why did you choose to do the show around cheating songs?
A lot of my favourite songs have actually got the theme of betrayal, infidelity, cheating, sexual paranoia.
All the good ones.
Yeah.
All the best things.
Yeah. So... it was quite easy to put this show together, you know.
Yeah.
But and also it's a songwriting genre that nobody really does anymore.
Yeah, interesting point there. Yeah. Love songs seemed, well, it's all about
everybody,
love.
Yeah, nobody writes emotional. About cheating, you know. It's I don't know why that is really, you know. Maybe they're just not very good songwriters.
I think
and maybe they haven't lived enough.
Yeah,
maybe that's it.
Probably that actually. These cheating songs, they seem to sort of fill in this grey area, you know? It's like they're more emotionally complex, there's more going on than, let's say, your average sort of pop love song, right?
It's dark, you know, it's the darkest thing.
And James Carr, why did you want to open with that track?
Well, I think this is a great... Dark End of the Street is the finest example of a cheating song that there is. It was written by Dan Penn and Chips Moman. And... The story of the song is that Quentin Clonch, it was a guy who owned Gold Wax Records in Memphis, Tennessee, was at a music biz convention, and he was hanging out with Dan Penn and Chips Moman. Chips Moman's the guy who produced Suspicious Minds and In the Ghetto for Elvis Presley. He's like a genius. He owned a studio called American Studios in Memphis in the 60s. But they were asking Quentin how he was getting on with James Carr, because Dan Penn especially was a huge fan of James Carr's voice. Quentin replied, "I need a hit song for James. You know, we've been putting out cool records, but we haven't had any hits. Would you guys write me a song?" So Dan and Chips, they were playing cards, I think, in the bar. They went upstairs took some amphetamine pills, and half an hour later, they went up to the room, took some speed, came back down half an hour, 40 minutes later, and said, here's a song for James Carr at the dark end of the street.
Wow, so this came out of a...
And Dan Penn's quote was, behind every good song is a... You know, Dan's Penn quote was, his quote about dark end of the street is, behind every great song, there's a great pill.
Of course, Bobby Gillespie, everyone, from the popular band Primal Scream. James Carr, he struck me as, or when I read up a bit about him, that he was kind of on a par with Marvin Gaye, but no, I mean, I definitely didn't know who he was.
Hey, James, he's like, if you're a fan of Southern Soul, you know James Carr's pretty high up in the pantheon of Southern Soul singers. Right. I mean, my favourite's actually O.V. Wright. I don't have any O.V. Wright tunes here today, but... I love O.V., but...
He never had his heart broken. He never got cheated on.
Oh, no, his O.V.'s voice is just full of, like, sin and redemption, you know? It's like sexual fucking pain.
Mm.
And he's, you know, spiritual pain. I mean, I don't know. You have to hear O.V. sing. I think he did have his heart broken. I think he was quite a bad guy as well. You know, not a bad guy, but he was a heroin addict, you know, just... painful life. His voice is full of pain and ecstasy, you know. That's why I love him. It's like Marvin Gaye, you know, it's ecstatic, but it's completely pained, you know.
It's just uplifting, just, here on the Guardian Radio Hour.
Yeah, yeah, you know, well, this is the thing. I just love that duality of ecstasy and pain. All the best music has it, or not all the best songs have it.
Well, it wasn't just the guys that felt ecstasy and pain. It was also the ladies. And this next track is by Laura Lee, who is pretty awesome. I love What a Man. That's one of my favourite tracks. But this one isn't What a Man, it's Dirty Man. Right?
Dirty Man. Right. All men are dirty men.
Let's hear it.
And I'm a dirty old man.
All right, so that was Dirty Man by Laura Lee, but not the right version, Bobby, is that
no,
right?
No, it's a completely different song.
Great, brilliant. But you are a big fan of Laura Lee anyway.
Yeah.
Was she, you know, she was pretty much involved in sort of defining that whole Muscle Shoals sound.
Yeah, I think she worked with the guys in the Muscle Shoals rhythm section. And so did the next guy, Luther Ingram, with... If Loving You Is Wrong, I Don't Want to Be Right, which is one of my favourite records, songs.
Where did you first listen to it?
I think around at my friend Tim's house.
Your friend? Hi, Tim. If you're listening, Tim,
yeah.
Thanks for that.
Tim, he had a really good soul collection.
Great. I mean,
and, we used to listen to this a lot. But the rhythm section, the band in this are the Muscle Shoals rhythm section, the Swampers, and... 1993 Primal Scream made a record in Memphis. We had Tom Dowd producing, but we had Roger Hawkins and David Hood play bass and drums for us, and these guys play the rhythm section on this next song. So this is one of my favourites. If Loving You Is Wrong, I Don't Want to Be Right. Luther Ingram.
All right, let's hear it.
Without
It's the Guardian Radio Hour. I'm Kate Hutchinson, and we're running through songs about cheating with Bobby Gillespie today in the NTS studio. Thank you for this amazing selection so far.
Oh, thanks very much.
So that was Luther Ingram, If Loving You Is Wrong, I Don't Want to Be Right. Tell me about that track. I mean, I love the words.
I love the fact that it's such an adult song, and it deals with such a, you know, a heavy subject. You know, in the song, the guy's married with two kids, but he's, you know, deeply attracted to this other woman, and there's nothing they can do about it, you know. And it's like, it's kind of interesting because these songs, all the songs in this show deal with this theme, infidelity, and a lot of these songs were actually huge American chart hits, pop hits, soul hits. And if you look at the charts now, nothing that gets in the charts has an adult theme in the lyrics. It's kind of like, it's an infantilized culture that we're living in.
Do you mean at the time, or do you mean now?
I'm talking about now. If you look at the charts now, there's no one that gets in the pop charts with like an adult lyric. You know, everything's like baby shit, teenage, you know, even teenage shit. You know, there's no, it's like kind of like a post-literate society that we're living in, and you know, it's reflected in the pop charts. You know, there's nobody in the charts writes about adult subjects. You know, nothing that sells a lot of records is serious. You know,
it's like
baby stuff. You know,
do you find yourself going back more and more to your old records because of that? Because you can't find what you want from new music.
Well, not so much that I buy a lot of music by new artists, younger artists, but they don't really get in the charts. They're kind of more underground. You know, the stuff that really shifts the records are the downloads or whatever, you know, it's kind of like infantilized kind of pop stuff, you know.
Very watered down.
That's the thing. Nobody cool gets big anymore. No, it's true. It's true.
Is like Rihanna not cool?
No, sorry.
Is Rihanna not cool?
But what's the content of her songs? She's a sexy girl, but her music's fucking garbage. You know, and it's like, you know, and the thing is that there's no content to the songs. You know, what's it saying? It's not saying anything. You know, the Guardian just gave Rihanna like 4 pages today, but it's like, you know, there's no, about what? About her marketing. It's not about the content of the songs. She's not saying anything, you know? I mean, I've got nothing against Rihanna, right? You know, great pop star and everything, but it's not Aretha Franklin, you know?
No.
It's like, you know, deep, painful, socially conscious soul music.
Yeah, the lyrics were a lot more complicated and in depth.
Adult. No, but it's, you know, Aretha Franklin never sang teenage pop songs. It's all about, you know, real adult stuff, you know? Really, you know, hard subject matter.
Well, speaking of hard subject matter, I was going to say the proto Rihanna, but that's probably not fair. Anne Peebles is the next track.
Oh yeah, I love Anne Peebles.
Incredible, she's incredible. Yeah. Obviously, Missy Elliott sampled her "Can't Stand the Rain" track, and so some NTS listeners might be familiar with her from that. But yeah, she's had quite a long and varied career.
Yeah, this is produced by this track is produced by Willie Mitchell, who also. High rhythm section, you know, the Hodges brothers and Teeny Hodges. They also played on all the Al Green hits, which were produced by Willie Mitchell in a converted cinema.
Yeah.
So the floor was sloping down. Just like Stack, same thing, converted cinema. The sloping floor, great sound.
Okay, all right, noted.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear the track. This is I'm Gonna Tear Your Playhouse Down.
Yeah.
My
This is the Guardian Radio Hour with Kate Hutchinson and Bobby Gillespie. And that was, the first track was Ann Peebles, I'm Gonna Tear Your Playhouse Down. And the one that we just heard, what was that one?
I think it was Doris Duke, To the Other Women, I'm the Other Woman.
Awesome. I just want to read out something from the people are on the tweets right now at NTS Live. Someone said it's gone full soul beans on NTS Live today, which I think is pretty neat. So, Doris Duke, Bobby.
Yeah, that's taken from an album called I'm a Loser.
Right.
I'm a Loser, and it was produced by Swamp Dog, a legendary guy called Swamp Dog. Mm-hmm. He had an album called Total Destruction of the Mind, and on the cover, he's sitting in an alley, a tenement alley, in a project, in a garbage can. He's a really, really cool guy, but he produced this album, I'm a Loser.
Which is kind of it's considered one of the best deep soul records of all time, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think it is. I mean, I've got friends that think it's a classic, but over the course of the whole, I mean, as I say, I'm more into O.V. Wright, you know, I'm a massive O.V. Wright fan. He's my main man, so mm-hmm. one of my main men. So, mm-hmm. But I like that song, To the Other Women, I'm the Other Woman, I'm his wife.
Brilliant. So, Doris Duke.
It's a good theme, right?
It's a great theme. Although you are sort of ruining my belief in monogamous love. I mean, you're just killing my dreams right here. This is a very sort of, you know, it's hammering the realness home, Bobby.
Sorry?
It's hammering the realness home. You know, the cheating, the adultery, the licentious behaviour.
Well, I don't know what to say, really.
Just ruining my dreams.
It's just the blues. It's just the actual living blues.
So Doris Duke is interesting because, well, I tried to Google her. I couldn't really find that much information. Apparently, no one really knows her whereabouts. She's sort of missing. Not missing.
She's dead, maybe.
I don't know if she's dead. Maybe she's just, you know, gone into serious
retirement. She looks
good
in the album cover. She's wearing a kind of all-in-one kind of plastic, kind of burgundy, shiny plastic suit.
It's a strong look for every occasion.
Yeah, she looks cool.
I was wondering whether, you know, there's a sort of tradition at the moment for people to bring kind of the old icons out of retirement. You know, Jack White has produced Wanda Jackson and Loretta Lynn. Is that something that you've ever considered or you've done?
No, I've never thought about doing that, no. I mean, hard enough trying to motivate ourselves, never mind trying to find some old dying dinosaur.
I guess. But you... nice.
I mean, no, but I don't mean it like that. It sounds really, really horrible. But, I mean, most of my heroes are dead anyway, you know? Like, OV's dead, Marvin's dead. You know.
You've had a pretty good
We have worked with some amazing people. We worked with George Clinton, Muscle Shoals. We worked with the Muscle Shoals Rhythm Section.
Sun Ra.
We worked some of the guys, Marshall Allen, some of the other guys from the Sun Ra Orchestra. We worked with Augustus Pablo.
Yeah.
We worked with Jackie Liebesait, the drummer from Can.
Yeah, you've done it right.
We worked with the Memphis Horns, Wayne Jackson and Andrew Love. You know, we worked with a lot of good people, especially from the Black American soul or funk world. So,
it's covered. You've got it down. You've done it.
Yeah, we've done a lot of good stuff.
Can you tell us the story about Sun Ra Orchestra? Because around the corner from the NTS studio is Cafe Otto.
I was there. I went to the gig two nights. It was like 2010, I think. And I went to those shows. And then during that week of shows, the volcano in Iceland, there was so much smoke from all the transatlantic flights were cancelled. So the Sun Ra guys were... they were stranded in the UK, but
they didn't have any money.
So a friend of mine called me and asked me if I would go to a benefit show. He was gonna get them to play a gig, and you know, he told me about the gig that they were gonna play, and would I come to the gig? And I asked him if he could maybe ask them if they would come to our studio and put some horns down and some new material that we had. So. Glenn Max, his name is. He used to be the promoter for the Royal Festival Hall for the
Meltdown
Festival. Yeah. And during the 90s, when it was heavily subsidised by the government, you know, when the arts were subsidised before austerity.
Oh, we just about remember that.
Yeah. And anyway, so that's why we had a lot of good acts over here and why we don't have a lot of good acts now for Meltdown, purely because of the fucking government. So the Marshall and some of the guys came to our studio and they played on a song called Sideman and another song called River of Pain, and it was a really beautiful experience, and Douglas Hart, my friend, filmed it. So yeah, Cafe Otto, thank you.
Great. All right, bit of a local stuff for you there. What's the next track, Bobby?
Oh, the next track is
we need to get back to cheating.
Okay. The next track is by The Temptations. It's written and produced by the amazing Norman Whitfield. It's called I Know I'm Losing You.
So that's I'm Losing You by The Temptations.
Oh, yeah. One of my favourite Paranoid songs.
What's the, is there a story behind this one with the writer?
That song was written by Norman Whitfield and Barrett Strong, I think. But the other hit The Temptations had around the same time was I Wish It Would Rain, which was written by Roger Penzabene. Now, the story behind that is that Roger Penzabene's wife, he was deeply in love with his wife, but she was, I think she, you know, a serial adulterer. Mm-hmm. And the guy was deeply tormented, and he wrote I Wish It Would Rain, you know, as to write about his experience with his wife. And it was, you know, it's a really true, painful, honest song, a description of the events of his life. And he gave the song to The Temptations. They recorded it, but before the song, just before about a week or two before the song was released, Roger Penzabene killed himself.
Right.
Pretty dark. He couldn't live with the pain of his wife cheating on him anymore. So it's a shame, because I Wish It Would Rain was like a number one or number two. You know, it was really high charted record for The Temptations. It's one of the biggest hits.
So he never got
So it kind of ties in with the theme of this show. And the next song we're going to play is I Don't Know Why, which is a Stevie Wonder song. And it's this version is by the Rolling Stones. And it was recorded at Olympic Studios, 1969. And Jimmy Miller, who produced this, the Stones at that point, like Beggar's Banquet, Let It Bleed, Honky Tonk Women, Sticky Fingers, you know, that run of classic Stones, late 60s, early 70s records, told me this story that he said that the night that the Stones received a phone call to tell them that Brian Jones had died, they were cutting this song.
And you can hear that on the track, I guess.
Well, you know, there's a real darkness to the track, you know, but everything the Stones cut in the late 60s had that darkness, you know. So anyway, I just think it's quite a good story.
Yeah, now I understand, you know, why you picked that one, because I thought you were going to pick Stevie Wonder Part-Time Lover, which is like a kind of guide to adultery almost.
I don't really know that song so well, but I think it's the wrong vibe for this show. But I Don't Know Why it follows I Know I'm Losing You very, I think, atmospherically and lyrically, and you know, the performance, the deliverance by the musicians and the singers, I think it's perfect. And yet again, it's one of my favourite Stones performances.
All right, let's hear it. I Don't Know Why by the Rolling Stones.
I'm
There's some proper grooving in the studio going on here with Bobby Gillespie. Better moves than me, though, I have to say. Far better. This is the Guardian Radio Hour. We've got some people on the tweets. Thank you. NTS Live at Guardian Music. Robin Murray is enjoying the show. Four Foot is saying, pain never sounded more authentic. I think we'd agree there, wouldn't we, Bobby?
Oh, yeah. Beautiful yeah. pain.
I don't really think you get more authentic than recording a song when you found out that, you know, one of your founding members has passed away. So, yeah, pretty...
That's an amazing version, though.
Yeah.
How much... I mean, it just reminds me about how much, you know, how much I love the Stones when I hear that. What a band. They're just fantastic. I love them.
Now, I know also that you're a massive fan of Hank Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Who is one of, you know, the kind of...
He's the main man.
He's the infidelity dude, isn't he? In a
well,
way.
He was he was... His wife, Audrey, he was absolutely tortured by Audrey. I think Audrey was... You know, I think she had a lot of lovers. And I mean, I don't really know about Hank, but I know he was like a speed freak and a morphine addict and...
So he wasn't, you know,
I'm sure he was no angel, but I know that he, it's like, you know, it's like the Stones, it's like, you know, I don't know, man, I just think that, you know, he married a woman who tortured him, and I'm sure he's fairly tortured so anyway, but you can hear it in his voice. I just think Hank is the greatest, you know.
Yeah.
My mother had a Hank Williams 10-inch album when I was a child. Called Moaning the Blues, which she used to play on the blue cover. The Blues. I know. So my dad had a record. It was Ray Charles's Greatest Hits on Stateside, where he actually covered some of Hank Williams' songs.
Right.
It was pretty cool.
So
I think he did Your Cheating Heart. I think he actually did this song, Ray Charles.
Didn't everyone cover
Take These Chains
your
from My
Heart?
Yeah, I'm sure they did, but I think the best version is always Hank Williams. I mean, he's just unbeatable in my eyes. To my mind, he's just the king of pain.
I mean, I read something, I like that, king of pain. I read something about Hank Williams, Your Cheating Heart, and when he started to write about infidelity in his songs, that people weren't really doing that at the time. I mean, country and blues is well known for having songs about cheating, but at the time, he was the guy that was writing about that.
Well, he's one of the greatest songwriters ever, because his lyrics are, you know, they're simple, direct, you know, they're very emotional. But he writes in very, very clear, direct, honest, plain language. And it's very hard to do that. You know, I know for a fact that Leonard Cohen is a huge fan of Hank Williams' songwriting.
Right.
You know, he's just, Hank's the best.
Well, let's hear the track, which is now a very, obviously a popular country standard, but let's hear it from the man himself, Your Cheating Heart.
Cheating heart will make you weep. You'll cry and cry and try to sleep. Your cheating heart will tell on you.
That was, of course, Your Cheating Heart by Hank Williams. So, I mean, country music seems to be one of the sort of places where adultery was, you know, it was like a hot topic. It still is, I guess.
Well, I think if you look at American working class music, which is primarily country music and soul music, you know, we're talking about like the 60s, 70s, they both dealt with those kind of subjects, you know, a lot, you know, they both dealt with like adultery or, you know, divorce, alcoholism, drug addiction. They dealt with the real heavy issues, adult issues of life. You know,
proper stuff.
Families breaking up, you know, the children been taken away from them, you know. Kind of stuff that rock music never really dealt with, because rock music really is like teenage music. You know, it's about getting off with somebody. It's no real, you know, it's adult concerns were never really in rock music. It was always in like country or soul or blues, you know, which also used that, those forms of genres use that direct, simple language that I love so much, you know.
And is that something
you know, it's pretty, you know, straight talking.
Pretty direct.
It's completely direct.
Is that something that you're more conscious of with your own lyric writing when you write songs?
Yeah, I've been completely influenced by that. I try and make the words as simple and direct as possible.
Well, the next track we're going to play...
Almost conversational, you know?
Well, absolutely. The next track that we're going to play, Bobby, you've chosen I'm Losing More Than I'll Ever Have, which is one of your tracks.
Yeah, I'm Losing More Than I'll Ever Have is the first song that we wrote in Primal Scream that we all felt was a really great song.
I mean, I didn't realise that this was a cheating song.
Oh, it is.
Right, yeah. Okay.
It is, and it was, you know, it was like, it was a very hard song to write, but I'm glad that I wrote it, and there's a bit of pain in there, but, you know, this song also is the song that Andrew Weatherall remixed, and it became Loaded, so...
It became a song about, you know, getting off your tits.
Yeah, but I think Weatherall was attracted to it initially because of the subject matter.
Yeah.
He liked the dark subject matter and the honest way in which we were talking about it.
Andrew Weatherall, of course, has a show on NTS called Music's Not For Everyone. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's also got he's got a new album out, hasn't he? Where he sings on it, and he hasn't really done that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've heard parts of it. It's really good.
Did you give him any sort of, you know, tips for the being a
what, microphone tips?
Microphone tips.
No, I never give him any tips. No.
All right. Well, let's hear that track. I'm Losing More Than I'll Ever Have.
We stop crying, I know you know I've been lying. We stop crying, I got a heart of gold. You can't be but a soul. You got a heart of gold, baby. I got the blues for you. I give myself.
Oh, I'm gutted to have to fade that out because we're running out of time, but it's such an incredible track. I mean, we've been having fun in the studio to that one, haven't we?
Oh, yeah. It's,
yeah, great.
Let's just keep playing the music.
Thumbs up. Well, I mean, yeah. I should probably ask you about your new album very quickly.
Okay.
Chaosmosis.
Chaosmosis, yeah.
I hope I'm among the first people to ask what Chaosmosis means or is.
I don't know if you get the time.
How long have we got? Okay,
let's just say
give
it's
me
a cool
in bullet
title.
Points.
What?
Give me it in bullet points.
Bullet points.
Very quickly. Okay. The tweet.
I think it's a very good description of the creative process.
Okay.
Where you're like, you know, you're assaulted every day, bombarded by, you know, like insane amounts of data. Mm-hmm. You know, like visual, oral. You know, just all this like stuff that your brain just, you know, basically you can't decipher all this stuff that's been thrown at you every day, whether it's coming from smartphones, computers, TVs, radios, people just talking at you.
Yeah,
it's kind of like you can't decode this stuff, you know, and it's overwhelming. So I think as an artist or a creative person, you know, if you can if you receive all that information and instead of letting it get you down and making you depressed and confused, you can turn it into an artwork. Right, I guess that's Chaosmosis.
So that's
it's kind of making sense of the chaos of everyday life and just turning it into art, which then makes you feel stronger and inspires you and hopefully can inspire other people. Yeah. But I just think it's a cool title, you know, it's kind of punk and rock and roll. And, you know, I got it from reading Franco Berardi.
All right.
Who was referencing Felix Guattari. He was the guy who wrote the book Chaosmosis, but I came across it by reading Franco Biffo Berardi, Italian post-Marxist autonomist writer that I love.
Wow, those were all big words, Bobby.
Critical political theory, yeah.
Wow, I think we need another hour to discuss that. It definitely feels like a more sort of introspective, maybe more personal record, I guess.
What, me, Mrs. Jones? Sorry, what was
next,
that?
Oh, the next track we're going to play.
Oh, the next track, sorry. Are you talking about our album?
I meant your album, yeah.
Is it it's very personal. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. All right. Well, from that to...
I think you were talking about the next... Or this. We're jumping here.
Why don't we just do that? Should we just go into Billy Paul?
I think so.
All right, what one's this, Bobby? Do you want to introduce it? Me and Mrs. Jones?
Yeah.
All right.
While the jukebox plays a favorite song, me and Mrs. Jones, we got a thing going on.
That was me and Mrs. Jones, Billy Paul, of course. This has been the Guardian Radio Hour with Bobby Gillespie. Thank you so much for coming down.
Thanks for having us, thanks.
And the theme has been, you know, it's been interesting, dark, painful. Have you enjoyed it?
I've had a great time, thanks.
Excellent.
Have you?
Yeah, you know, yeah, I've been flying by the seat of my pants quite a lot. you've kept me on my toes.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. I just wish we had more time here.
I know. I feel like we could.
We're just getting going, and we have to stop.
I think you should have your own show.
There's a gentleman
Bobby.
Here who's got a show, so we got to go. But we've had a great time. Thanks for listening, and we're going to leave you with the Flying Burrito Brothers with "Dark End of the Street." Graham Parsons, we love him. Good night. Goodbye. Good afternoon.
For more great downloads, go to theguardian.com/audio.